Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sawbones, a medical tour of misguided medicine. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
I hit all my consonants really well in that intro, Sydney. I just wanted you to know I really put the effort in.
Well, you come from a proud tradition of radio voices, so I expect nothing less from
Finally,
you.
Finally, I've come into my own. Sydney, this is an exciting episode. For a change. Yes, this is.
I always think it's interesting to see what my lovely non-medical husband finds interesting.
Non-medical,
because
is,
you know,
harsh.
in the medical world, I think our definition of interesting sometimes is, well, yeah, it's different and it's also unpleasant.
Sydney literally just started an anecdote with, "You're not going to think this is funny. You won't get this," and then trucked right on through that bad boy. All three luscious minutes.
Such a funny doctor. I'm not even going to get into it because
We'll test it with the audience. It'll be a special bonus deleted scene. No. Any episode could be somebody's first episode, and I can't have that on our program. This is an exciting episode because we're going to. This is a historic generation because of this topic.
I guess that's true in a way.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. We're talking about chickenpox.
Yeah,
and the reason I was excited about it, I asked people for their stories about it because it occurred to me that, like, our generation is really the last generation for whom, I mean, obviously chickenpox won't be, like, annihilated, but, like, for whom chickenpox will be, like, an everyday sort of rite of passage.
I also like the word annihilated used for a virus there.
You don't think it's accurate?
We'll annihilate the
with
virus.
With extreme prejudice?
it's interesting you say that, and you're right that I think our generation was the last one that you just expected that everybody was going to get it.
Yeah, everybody had it.
As a physician, I have already missed. I am the last generation of physicians who routinely saw chickenpox are older than me. So I miss that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have seen, I think, one case of chickenpox, other than like my
that's
own.
So wild.
One case of
that's
chickenpox
so weird
in my career. Yeah. Yeah. We just don't, I mean, it's, yeah.
So we've got
different
some
landscape. Thank you to everybody who recommended this topic, by the way.
Yeah.
Including Joanne and Anne and Alyssa and Gabriel and Belinda and Amanda and Carson and Kurt. And to everyone who sent us stories about chickenpox.
Kind of a departure for us, but I figure this episode is a historic. This is our, like, time capsule episode. In 100 years, people can come back and listen to this one if they want to know what life was like for the chickenpox generation.
With chickenpox.
So let's get into it, Sid.
So first of all, most older people are going to know this already, but for some of those of you who are younger, you may not. Chickenpox is a viral illness. It's caused by varicella zoster is the virus, and it mainly affects children. At least it used to. It mainly affects no one these days.
Yeah.
But typically it affected children. If you got chickenpox, which I did, which Justin did,
sure,
a lot of us in our age group did. You would get an itchy red rash. It spreads from your head down. That's always really important. I know I say that and people think, well, why does it matter how it spread? It helps us distinguish what rash it might be.
Depending on where it's the location.
Depending on where it starts and where it goes to.
Hmm.
Start from head down, center out, that kind of thing. And we describe the rash, the blisters you get, as a dewdrop on a rose petal.
That's ludicrous. That has nothing to do
Isn't
with
that gender. Poetic?
Yeah, I mean, why?
Dewdrop on a rose. But have you ever seen? Look, you need to look at a picture of a chickenpox blister. The vesicle.
I'm actually super good.
No, it's not that bad. It looks like a dewdrop on a rose petal.
Perfect. I'll just envision that.
Fluid filled, tiny. It's lovely. Anyway, you can get fever, you get, you know, you feel yucky, you feel malaise, you feel tired. It's very contagious. So typically when somebody in a household would get chickenpox, 90% of household contacts who aren't immune already are also going to get chickenpox. It's crazy contagious. It's spread by respiratory droplets as well as fluid from the blisters themselves. And it is contagious until it crusts. So until all those little blisters become little crusts, what we would probably call scabs, at that point, it's no longer contagious. But until then, it is. It's much worse in certain populations, people who are under one or over 15, people with maybe issues with their immune system, pregnant people. It's definitely worse for pregnant patients, which is part of why it was so important for us to try to stop it. You can get some severe complications, things like pneumonia, neurological complications, but those were fairly rare. Mm-hmm. Most people recover really well in, you know, week 10 days with just supportive care and trying not to scratch.
How about a chickenpox story?
Let's hear a chickenpox story.
This one comes to us from Amy, who said, I saw your tweet about chickenpox stories and wanted to contribute. I got chickenpox on a family trip when I was 4 years old, except the trip wasn't just with my family. It was also with some family friends, one of whom happened to be my dad's boss. I ended up giving chickenpox to my dad and also his boss.
Ooh.
I'm 27 years old now, and my dad still has the same boss. I'd like to hope he's forgiven me.
That's rough.
Yeah, that's rough. Chickenpox to your dad.
That is. That's also rough because your dad and your dad's boss had probably had a rougher go of it.
Yeah, we've got some other stories about that coming up a little later.
Descriptions of a disease that was probably chickenpox date back a super long time, ancient Babylonian texts, 2,000 years ago. But it's really difficult as we look back through some of these ancient texts to tell if they're talking about chickenpox, smallpox, syphilis, shingles, herpes, anything where there are spots on you. It gets a little blurry. It's really hard to distinguish what disease they may have been writing about.
Are they in the same, like, broad family of diseases?
Not everything I just named, but mm-hmm. some of them, yes.
Okay.
Some of them are very closely related. We'll get to that. But no, I mean, like, smallpox and chickenpox are definitely not, they're definitely not the same thing. They're very different, like, viral processes. And to the extent that, you know, if you got smallpox, you were very worried that you would die. And most of the time with chickenpox, you don't. Mm-hmm. So, but at first, the rash, if you're not that familiar, might look similar.
Okay.
They really don't. But in ancient texts, who knows?
Yeah.
There's an ancient Ayurvedic text that describes what probably is chickenpox and advises, and especially you think it's chickenpox too, because the things that they advise to treat it are fairly benign. You know, you save your, when you look to ancient texts, if you see like a lot of bloodletting, it's probably something worse. If they're telling them to do something like rub some neem leaves and turmeric on it, that's a little, you know, less severe.
Idea being that if the lengths they would go to try to cure it are lessened because
exactly
everything was whack.
Yeah. So something that people would look at and go, ooh, that's what we would call smallpox today, maybe treated more aggressively. In addition, there were certain, you read these like very specific guidelines, like keep a glass of water near the head of the bed, spread neem leaves, this certain plant neem leaves around the house, tie them above the door frame, avoid baths, don't eat any fatty food. This actually probably makes sense scientifically.
Why?
I know this is weird, but neem leaves do have some antimicrobial kind of properties. So like if you were worried about secondary bacterial infections, so like your sores opening up and getting bacteria in them, that's not a crazy thought. It's not going to fix chickenpox, but you know, it's not a crazy thought. If you had a bundle of those tied above the door frame to your house, it was a sign to people not to come in, which is really smart with chickenpox.
Right.
Because it's so contagious. Keeping a glass of water near the bed kept you from getting up out of bed because you just drank that water, so you didn't spread chickenpox as much.
Okay.
If you took too many baths and rubbed your skin too briskly, you would leave yourself open to infection, so that wasn't a great idea back in the day. And also, fatty food is a little more taxing on the digestive system, so it was a way of saying, like, give your body a rest because it's fighting off an illness. These aren't crazy thoughts, especially for something that mainly requires supportive care.
Thank you. So the Ayurvedics were on the money on this one.
These were not bad suggestions. These weren't going to hurt anybody.
Okay.
Similarly, you know, the Egyptians recommended oatmeal baths.
Wow, that's pretty advanced.
That one stuck around to now.
To now.
People still do that.
All right, I want to give that one a certified gold star. Good job, everybody.
There you go.
I do want to hang out with the dude who was first like, excuse me, I've got an idea. Yes, Weird Gerald, what is it? I know this is going to sound weird, and everyone's always saying how weird my ideas are, but listen, hear me out. Oatmeal bath. Okay, can someone help him out, please? Wait, hold on.
No, it's
I'm crushing it.
I love how squishy it feels between my toes. It's so squishy.
He was the great-great-great-great-grandfather of the lady of Patch Adams who wanted to swim in the swimming pool full of noodles. They were ancestors.
They tried that, actually, a bowl full of noodles, and it just wasn't as effective for chicken pox.
My chicken pox still sucks. I hate this.
In the early 900s, Rossi was able to write descriptions of chickenpox that pretty clearly distinguished it from measles and smallpox. So we had kind of like these are distinct diseases. We saw Giovanni Filippo write the first really well-documented case description, which is in the 1500s, which is interesting because there's like this footnote as I'm reading about him, like that he really hated doing this because he had this thing about people that he thought maybe were dirty. He was also kind of like this socioeconomic elitist where he didn't like to be around people of lower socioeconomic classes. And so like he was real grossed out by the whole thing, but he wrote a really good description of it. Just on a side note.
That's inspiring.
As we often do in medicine, there was like this period where Dr. Richard Morton argued that it was just a milder form of smallpox in the 1600s, even though we already knew it wasn't, and set us back for a while.
He decided to take a swing at it.
Until in 1767, when William Heberden proved that it was a different disease, as well as the fact that you remained immune more than likely after you had it once.
Oh.
So we figured that out all the way back then, that if you had chickenpox once, you probably weren't going to get it again.
Now we say probably. Here's a story from Chelsea. She says, per my mother, who I have to believe because I was too young to remember, I got the chickenpox for the first time when I was two. I contracted it from my Uncle Ronald, who had shingles, and it was apparently pretty mild.
Ron.
It's always an Uncle Ronald.
Come on, Uncle Ron.
Please, he prefers Ronald. I do remember the set. Oh, you can just call me Uncle Ronald. Hey, Uncle Jerry. It's Jeremiah. I do remember the second time I had chickenpox at 15, which was terrible. It started as a mild rash, which I thought was a grass allergy. I took a Benadryl and went to bed. In the morning, I was covered in pox, and my mom took me to the doctor. The doctor had to pull out a huge... It is a word that we can't say on our show.
Huge butt.
A huge butt book of pictures and disgusting rashes to confirm that it was chickenpox. They said that they hadn't seen a case in over 10 years because, well, vaccines. I missed 2 weeks of school and came back to a rumor that I really had herpes. High school.
Aw, that's too bad. That's true. It is possible to get it again. Most people don't. But if you don't mount enough of an immune response the first time around.
Yep.
There you go. Here's the part of Sawbones where we talk about some unfortunate experiments that were done.
Is there a required segment?
The required segment called Pre-IRB, where we talk about things that were done before we knew what ethics and research were. Rudolf Steiner did some experiments on people in 1875 where he took fluid from the blisters of people with chickenpox and rubbed it into the open skin of healthy people and gave them chickenpox.
And then we knew. And had a nice dinner with his family, satisfied with a job all done.
proving that this was how you got chicken pox. I don't know.
And he was like so proud of himself, you know. He's like, hey, good news, everybody. Like, guess what I figured out? Like, yeah. I know.
James Von Bouquet had kind of, he was a scientist.
Name. Yeah. Isn't
he,
that's isn't that a great name?
Who had found the connection he thought between chickenpox and shingles. And we're going to get into shingles, but the two disease processes had been theorized to be related for a long time. He was the first one to kind of connect them. And then there were some experiments, again, unfortunate experiments that took place in the 20s and 30s on kids, supposedly in pursuit of vaccinating them.
Mm-hmm.
I never found enough specifics on that to feel comfortable one way or the other, but they took fluid from shingles blisters, so from older patients who had shingles,
They
rubbed it into the skin of healthy kids, again, supposedly trying to immunize them, and then gave them chicken pox.
They lied to them about what it was, too. You know, they told them it was like, it's okay, kids, this is like Mickey cream or something. This is angel juice.
We're in the
like,
1920s and 30s.
Okay.
Angel juice?
Mickey doesn't hold weight. I don't know what kids in the 20s were into.
This is like candy goo.
Candy goo.
It'll make you, all your food tastes like candy after it's this.
Something. I don't know. Just rub it on yourself, idiot. Here's 5 cents.
Finally in the 1950s, they isolated the same varicella virus from both shingles and chickenpox sores and finally made the connection. If you're interested in why it's called chickenpox.
I am.
There are a few different stories as to why this happened. Samuel Johnson, and this is one and maybe the most popular rumor, called it chickenpox because this was a comparison to smallpox.
Oh, so it's
because it wasn't as severe of a disease, it's like, well, that's the chicken pox.
Okay, yeah.
So that's one theory. Also because it makes your skin look like a chicken pecked it. That's another theory. Another is that it comes from the old English word gicken, which is the word for itching.
Sounds kind of like chicken.
Yeah, sounds kind of like chicken. So the itching pox, the gicking pox, the chicken pox.
It's probably that one. Old etymology is never like is entomology? Etymology?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, etymology.
Yeah,
entomology is the bug
okay,
one.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah. It's never as satisfying as you want it to be. There's always some weird roundabout road there.
There's also been this theory that the blisters sort of look like chickpeas.
Gross.
I don't really think they. I think that's
and
a
stretch. Also they don't like that's yeah that's whack.
I kind of like gicking pox myself.
Sydney, I know we need to go to the billing department, but here's a quickie from Zach.
Ooh.
I had chicken pox when I was 5. I would scratch so bad that I would start bleeding. I still have scars. To stop this, my parents started duct taping socks to my hands at night, so I'd scratch mostly then.
That is a recommendation from doctors sometimes. So your parents brutal. Were not totally off their rockers. That's okay.
All right, City, ready to go to the billing department?
Let's go. The medicines that escalate macabre
for the mouth. You know, it's tempting to say, I'm going to start on the big new thing. You know, when the new year comes, I'm going to get it all figured out. Here's what I want to tell you. There's never been a better time to start your dream than right this second, and there's never been a better way to start than with Squarespace. We've been telling you about Squarespace for years, and that's because it's simply the best way to make a website. I mean, there's no other way to put it than that, folks. People have been using Squarespace to make incredible professional-looking websites, and they look professional because the templates they're using, they are made by real web designers. So they're making, like, building blocks that are going to look great. You just bring your stuff, your images, your things you want to sell, any of that, and Squarespace is going to help you make a great platform for it. Head to squarespace.com/sawbones for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use offer code sawbones to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Sid, scrubs aren't like any other kind of clothes. Is that right? Scrubs aren't just like regular clothes. They're action clothes. They're clothes you gotta be able to perform in.
That's true. I definitely think that function is the primary concern with scrubs, but as someone who spends, I don't want to say the majority of my life, but at least half of my life. No, it is the majority of my time in scrubs. I also
don't know about sleeping. You don't sleep in scrubs.
No, but you could if they're comfortable enough, which these are, but you also want them to look nice. Mm-hmm. And that's what's nice about Figs is that they are very functional. I'm not worried about when I'm down on the sidewalk doing my street medicine and my Figs, but also I look nice. I get compliments on them. People don't always know they're scrubs.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how nice they look.
Well, that's a huge compliment because I know a lot of times scrubs have a reputation for not looking great and also being kind of itchy.
Yeah, these are not itchy. They're super soft. They're comfortable. I don't sleep in them because I do wear them to work and that would not be sanitary, but if I washed them, I could sleep in them. That's how comfy they are.
Sid, what is the
number one reason that you have to do laundry every single week for you personally?
My scrubs.
Your scrubs. And wouldn't that be a little bit easier for anybody who's in the scrub game if they stocked up a little bit, had a few backup pairs?
Absolutely. Get yourself some more Figs. They're antimicrobial, so they'll keep you protected. They're durable, so you can wash them over and over again if you need to, like I do. And like I said, you look nice. You're going to look like a TV doc.
Like a TV doctor.
Yeah, like a TV doc.
It's the perfect time to stock up with some fresh outfits for the year, and Figs just dropped a brand new collection of limited edition styles and accessories. If you're in healthcare or shopping for someone who is, you can get 15% off your first order at wearfigs.com with the code FIGSRX. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.
What movies should I go see this weekend?
Should I care about the Emmys?
Is this meme already dead? Is VR cool?
What happened to Choose Your Own Adventure book?
Are the Kardashians for real?
For answers to these questions and so much more, come on over to Pop Rocket, a pop culture roundtable show with me, Guy Branum,
Winter Mitchell,
Margaret Wappler,
and Oliver Wang.
Catch us every Wednesday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you decide to get your podcast. I'm not going to judge.
Sydney, I have a quick story for you from our friend, Michael Sullivan.
Oh, what does Michael Sullivan have to tell us?
He has one visible scar from the chickenpox. He didn't get it until he was 13 years old. And one night, as we sat at the dinner table, my father noticed I had a red place on my forehead. After some teasing that his little boy had his first zit, my dad tried to pop it. Needless to say, it didn't. But I now have a nice scar to remind me that fathers aren't always right.
And you can point to that for the rest of your life and go, look what you did to me.
Look at this. It's all because of you.
Now, I've mentioned shingles a few times, and you may already be aware that there's a relationship between chickenpox and shingles. A very close relationship, as in it's the same virus.
I've heard this.
Yes. So after you have had chickenpox and gotten better, the chickenpox virus, it likes you. It doesn't want to leave you. It wants to hang around, but not just anywhere. It wants to hang around in the dorsal root ganglion of your nervous
system.
That's where anybody would hang around. The important thing to know is that it can chill there, hidden deep within your nervous system, and be reactivated in times of trauma or stress on your body, like a surgery or an illness, or just sometimes it just seems to do it randomly. It can cause blistering. You may have seen shingles blisters before. They can look pretty impressive. They look a little worse than chicken pox do. We do not describe shingles as a dewdrop on a rose petal.
No.
And they can be extremely painful. The thing that really clues you in that this is shingles is that it's in what we call a dermatomal distribution, and that means that it follows the path of a certain nerve root. Mm-hmm. So it will only be on one side of your body when it occurs.
Okay.
Now, it could reoccur later on the other side, but the important thing is if it is on both sides of your body at the same time, it's not shingles. It's something else, but it's not shingles. It'll only be on one side. It'll be in kind of a strip, like a line, of blisters. You can have some numbness, some tingling, swelling, sensitivity. It can be very hard to treat. And like I said, it can be extremely painful. And it can also come back again and again. You can only get shingles if you've had chickenpox before. If you haven't had chickenpox and somebody has shingles and you're exposed to them, you can get chicken pox.
That's confusing.
Yeah. But the important thing to know is that it's the same virus.
My friend, I have a friend who listens to this program named Russ, and he got shingles last week. He said it was excruciating. And I didn't make fun of him for getting what sounds like such an old man disease, because it does sound like an old man disease to me. It has a very old man vibe. So I want to make fun of him now here publicly. Take that, Russ.
I won't make fun of him. I'm sorry, Russ, because I have not had shingles, but I understand and I have witnessed that the pain is pretty bad.
It's common, right? Like one in three adults will get shingles in their lifetime is what the sign at Walmart said.
Shingles is pretty common. If you're wondering about the name shingles,
which is terrible, by the way.
I know.
I don't know how they landed on that one.
It comes from the Latin, singulus. which means girdle, because of like the strip, the pattern in which it will appear. It's same actually with zoster. That's the other, you know, herpes zoster or varicella zoster. It's the other name you'll hear for shingles. It's from the Greek for belt or girdle. Zoster is.
Okay.
Again, just because the way the rash looks. So shingles is pretty painful, and you'd rather not have it. And we'll get into how you can't in just a second. Now, here is where I explain to you why the chickenpox vaccine is important.
Okay.
I'm prefacing it. This is the, if there was like a bold title over this section of the podcast, that's what it would say. So many people ask me, does my kid really need the chickenpox vaccine though? Really? It's just chickenpox. Okay. In the US, prior to the vaccine, chickenpox caused 4 million cases a year, 10,600 hospitalizations a year, and between 100 and 150 deaths a year. Now, I know that doesn't seem like a huge number compared to some of the other diseases we've covered, but those are 100 to 150 preventable and maybe kid deaths that it prevented or that the vaccine can prevent. So that is why the vaccine is important. It was a live attenuated vaccine was developed in the 1970s in Japan by Dr. Takahashi. In 1995, it came to the US and it's available now. You get two doses, one at 12 to 15 months, the second at 4 to 6 years. And it results in a 90% reduction in your chance of getting the virus. And it also adds to herd immunity, which of course is the more people around you who are immune, the less likely you are to get it. And that is why we don't see chickenpox anymore. Well, I mean, pretty much. It's still out there, but it is incredibly rare.
Is there any effort or hope or plan that like this could be like eliminated in the same way that smallpox was?
I think, you know, I'd have to read more about all of the hosts to chickenpox and if there's anything. I don't know if there's any other animal that can host, you know, that was the thing about smallpox is that smallpox is just purely a human disease.
Oh, okay. Right.
And that's why it was easier to eradicate.
Oh, that makes sense.
I am not 100% certain. I mean, I'm assuming chickenpox is the same way, but I don't know that. I don't know that. So I don't know if chickenpox could be eradicated in the same way smallpox could. That's a good question.
Here's a nice little chickenpox story from Dana. Dana says, when I was six, I came down with chickenpox the day after my mom and stepdad returned from their honeymoon. My stepdad likes to joke. It was like me saying, oh yeah, just try to love me. Just try it. I dare you to love this itchy spot and mess. But he took off work and bought me an epic Play-Doh beauty shop toy. I'm 33 now, and he still texts me if he hears I'm even slightly sick to see how I'm doing.
Aww.
Sweet.
That is a sweet story.
Don't.
No. Chickenpox, it can only be gotten by humans, by the way.
Well, come on, y'all. Let's get together on this thing.
So there is also a shingles vaccine, by the way.
Yes, it's more recent.
Yes, or zoster vaccine, same thing. It's developed in 2006. It's really just for older people, and that's mainly because the complications from shingles tend to be worse the older you are. So initially it was just for 60 and up. It was expanded to 50 and up for certain populations. It prevents shingles about half the time, like 51% success rate.
Let's try.
It does reduce the long-term pain complications that can result from shingles by 67%.
Ooh.
But again, it's still worth it because if you're one of them, it counts. You can get pain from shingles that lasts forever.
Sorry, Russ.
Yeah, not everybody does. There's hope. Most people don't. But some people have pain forever after shingles. So, I mean, like, this is a big deal.
Russ is a contemptible human being, though. I do hope it haunts him for the rest of his natural days.
I don't support any of these statements. It is a live virus vaccine. Actually, the chickenpox vaccine is a live virus vaccine as well. So, they're live attenuated viruses. Attenuated, mean made harmless viruses. But the reason that's important to know is that there are certain people with compromised immune systems who maybe can't get these vaccines. So it is, I mean, you do need to talk to your doctor about these vaccines. You can get some chickenpox at the site of the vaccine when you get the zoster vaccine. It's possible.
So not worth getting anything.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. Not at all. No, you know how I feel about vaccines.
Here's another one from Nicole. I got the chickenpox. This is great. I got the chickenpox right at the end of kindergarten, so I missed the last few days. Luckily, I was non-contagious just in time for my uncle's wedding, in which I was a flower girl. However, I still had all my scabs, so that was cute. But the kicker is, my grandmother used the chicken pox as an excuse when she returned the dress that I actually did wear back to the store, claiming I was too sick to be in the wedding.
Oh, no.
Savage.
That's rough. So spreading good. Chicken pox.
Well, she, yeah, that's pretty brutal. Yeah,
fluid from the blisters.
Grandma get the bargains at any cost.
Any cost. Now, as far as what do you do if you get chicken pox, which hopefully this won't be a problem for you, but just for maybe for most of us, this is reminiscing. There are some natural remedies that people will recommend, things like honey and baking soda and vinegar, vitamin E. I saw that even in one of the stories. Somebody said vitamin E was recommended for them. Carrot and coriander soup and garlic. Calamine is pretty widely used. Mm-hmm. Most people use calamine lotion. That's fine. It soothes the skin. People like oatmeal baths. They feel like it's soothing. What you really have to do is don't itch. You're going to itch. Don't scratch. Don't scratch. Mm-hmm. They're more likely to scar when you scratch them. And if you scratch them and open them up and then introduce bacteria, you can get infections. Antihistamines might help with the itching. Cool compresses will help with the itching. You can use fever reducers like Tylenol and ibuprofen if it's appropriate. Do not use aspirin. We've talked about this before. It can lead to a complication called Rye syndrome in kids. Anyway, the important thing is don't use aspirin. Stick with ibuprofen and Tylenol, especially in children. And for most people, you just wait and watch and they'll get better. For most people, you may find some people can get blisters like in their mouths or in other mucous membranes. And so then you might want to limit what kind of foods and things you eat, not to make those worse. But it's usually just wait until it gets better.
I've got a few more stories I got to share.
Oh, and don't spread it. Don't spread it.
Speaking of, this story is from MJ. I got chickenpox when I was 11 or 12. It was one of those things that traveled down my street to each and every kid that lived there, all 11 of us. You know, just quick sidebar, this is something that I think people who weren't in the chickenpox generation, the last chickenpox generation, don't understand. But like, chickenpox was such a fact of life that if somebody you knew got it, or like somebody in your family got it, your parents would just let you kick it with them until you got it.
Not just let you.
Like, they would force you to kick it with them. Because, like, let's just get it over with. Like, yeah. Let's just get it and get it done.
Exactly.
Let's just do it. So this got passed up and down MJ Street. I knew I wasn't allowed to go to my friend's house because she and her sister had it. But I didn't see anything wrong with playing with her through the chain link fence that separated our yards. Of course, I obviously didn't know that it could be transmitted through the stuffed dog that she and I were passing back and forth. Aww. Our respective parents caught on to what we were doing around the same time and put a stop to it, but the damage was done.
There actually used to be chickenpox parties that were popular. So if one kid in like a neighborhood or friend group got chickenpox, the moms or dads or, you know, whatever parental unit would get all of the kids together. And not just have them play together, but you would see like gross things like pass around suckers for them to share.
Ugh.
And share like drinks and things. Grody. Just to like really make sure that all the kids got chicken pox just so you could get it. Which, I mean, there is some sound reasoning in the sense that it was safer to get it when you were a kid than it was when you were an adult. And so if everybody was definitely going to get it, you'd rather your kid get it when they're, mm-hmm. you know, 5 or 6 than when they're 20.
Right.
But still.
Last story, because I know we got to wrap it up.
Well, I want to hear your chickenpox story too.
I really don't remember that much about it. I've been racking my brain trying to come up with anything. We had it. I remember it was miserable.
Surely all three of you boys got it together.
Yeah, Dad has like video of us like lying around with chickenpox, just dying.
But you miserable. Don't remember who was patient zero?
It was probably me. I assume it was me.
Huh.
I don't remember.
How do you
I really don't remember
your chicken pox? Okay.
Do you remember yours?
Yeah.
Well,
you didn't ask me.
Give me the reader's digest. My chicken pox story. I am.
I got chicken pox when I was 14.
That's pretty late.
Yeah, I know it was late. My sister Taylor, my sister that, you know, was younger than me, and we would have gotten chicken pox at the time I was young, got it. Taylor got it, and at school, and my mom had to sleep together and share food and drink, and I never got it. I thought I was immune for a long time. I thought I was like the lucky one immune patient. And then when I was 14 in high school, heading back from Christmas break, right before I went back to school, I had a spot on my stomach that I didn't know what it was, but it itched like crazy, and I had scratched the heck out of it and opened it up. And my mom took me to my doctor, who I now work with, one of my colleagues, who was really cool. He was my family doctor at the time. And he looked at it and he said, hold on a second. And then he brought me back a dermatology book because he knew I wanted to be a doctor.
Who was this?
This is Dr. Becker.
Okay.
And Dr. Becker brought me back a dermatology book and handed it to me and said, Sydney, go through this and tell me, come find me when you tell me when you know what you have. So I sat there looking through this derm book, and finally I went and sought him out and said, Dr. Becker, do I have chicken pox? And he said, you got it. So it was awful. It was terrible.
Yeah,
I was so crazy sick. My rash wasn't terrible, but I was so crazy sick, and I missed my first week back of school.
Here is this. Speaking of missing things, this one's from Kate, and this is a heroic one. My mom and her sisters planned a once-in-a-lifetime trip to Germany and Austria when my sisters and I were kids. 2 days into the trip, she called to check in to learn all three of us had the chicken pox. Amy was 3 months old, I was 4 years old, and Susie was almost seven. My mom hadn't even left us overnight and was our full-time caregiver since the day Susie was born. My dad put us all in his undershirts, invested in calamine lotion, and listened to us whine and complain for the next 10 days. I had the worst of the three of us, spots in my nose, ears, mouth, in between my toes, and I also happened to be the whiniest, so all my sympathies went to my dad when I had kids of my own. Kate, by the way, happened to be the one to contract the shingles 2 years ago at age 33. She said, I learned shortly before that through a blood draw during pregnancy that I had also lost on my MMR immunity, even though I was up to date on vaccines. Bodies are weird.
They are. And that is, again, the one thing I would stress about chickenpox is that even though chickenpox we look back on as this fun childhood rite of passage that we're all supposed to like, oh, everybody gets chickenpox. The thing is, for the majority of us, it was just something really annoying.
Yeah.
Or maybe like Justin, you don't even remember very well. For me, I remember getting pretty darn sick, but I was still okay. But it can have serious complications, and definitely, especially now when there are a lot of people who haven't had chickenpox. Most of them hopefully have had the vaccine, but for people who are just protected through herd immunity, it's vitally important that those people don't get chickenpox, because as they get older, it can be worse. And certainly for anyone who becomes pregnant, it can be pretty bad. So, get vaccinated. It's a good vaccine. There is a reason that we made it.
Yeah, it's good
stuff.
Get
the chickenpox vaccine. If you're eligible, get the shingles vaccine. Talk to your doctor about both. Again, they are live attenuated virus vaccines, so you do need to talk to your doctor about them. But as long as it is safe and your doctor says it's okay, you should get them. I am fully in support of them. It is no different. I see this like divide. There's like all vaccines, and then there are all these wafflers out there who are like, well, I don't know about the flu vaccine, and I don't know about the chickenpox vaccine. A vaccine is good. Get your vaccines, please, no matter what anyone tells you.
Folks, that's going to do it for us. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to taxpayers for letting us use your song Medicines. This is the intro and outro of our program. Hey, we're going to go on a cruise in March if you want to come. We're going to go cruise through Mexico. It's going to be great. It's the Joco Cruise. There's going to be a ton of cool people there. Jonathan Colton, Ovs, it's his cruise. So he gets to go for sure. You know who else is going to be there? Max Temkin, creator of Cards Against Humanity, is going to be there. John Bernstein is going to be there. Amy Mann is going to be there. Nerf Herder is going to be there. Welcome to Night Vale is going to be there. It's going to be cray. There's tons of other people. Will Wheaton, Ed Brubaker, Rhea Butcher. Matthew Weiner, creator of Mad Men. Everybody's going to be there, and you can too. Go to jococruise.com and come with us. It's going to be fun. I think that's it. It's going to do it for us.
Yes.
And sorry this episode's so late, by the way. Sorry. Sydney's on hospital service this week, so just long hours.
We'll get better.
We'll hang in there.
Yeah.
But
we'll stick with us, folks. It'll be here
up earlier next week. But until then, my name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
All right. Yeah. MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.